This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. Debate on the value of a liberal arts education is nothing new, but during the last recession and extended period of high unemployment, many called for steering students towards vocational classes and programs that would focus on training for specific skills in order to better their chances of finding a job. But a liberal arts education can provide the foundation of critical thinking, problem-solving, teamwork, intellectual curiosity, and cultural sensitivity needed to be successful in a variety of careers. Sitting down to discuss the value of a seamless secondary and post-secondary liberal arts education in the 21st century are Jeff Reinhart, a math teacher at Upper Arlington High School in Columbus, Dr. Michael Todd Edwards, associate professor in the Miami University Department of Teacher Education, and Jeff Brokamp, principal of Walnut Hills High School. Thanks, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. Now, what does a liberal arts education mean to each of you? Todd, let's start with you.
To me, liberal arts education is all about broad themes, looking across disciplines, the arts, the sciences, in a way that helps students think more flexibly about the world around them and solve problems that are relevant today.
Jeff Brokamp, what does liberal arts education mean to you?
Well, I would echo what Todd said. I think it means a broad opportunity for students to experience a range of curriculum. And at Walnut Hills High School, we had the classical piece. So there's a very intense study of the ancient cultures as well. But I think that the notion is for students to be able to answer difficult questions. They need a very, very broad experience in the curriculum.
Jeff Reinhart, how do you look at liberal arts education?
My view is that it's also broad, diverse, not narrow and specialized, that students make connections between subjects and within subjects, and this gives students perspective and insight into specific subjects by seeing the whole picture and giving a sense of context for perhaps a specialty that they have. So it's a complete picture or understanding from a global sense, but it doesn't, it doesn't prevent someone from also specializing in certain areas as well.
Todd, with the way times have changed, is a liberal arts education still something that's relevant in the 21st century?
I think it's arguably more relevant now than ever. We've all heard comments that the careers of tomorrow don't even exist. They haven't even been conceived. And we need people that are flexible thinkers, that can see connections among disparate ideas. We really need people that can bring ideas together from the liberal arts.
Jeff Brokamp, you're working with kids. One of the emphases at Walnut Hills is to teach a liberal arts education. How relevant is that today, and how do you sell that to the kids?
Well, really, it's I would agree with Todd. I think you can make an argument that it's more relevant today. You know, it's not unlike the role of the teacher these days with the introduction of technology and the ability for students to engage the internet and so forth. You know, the teacher's role has changed, and the teacher now becomes more a facilitator of the learning, so that students can learn how to connect pieces of their training and their knowledge to be able to solve problems. And that's not unlike the relationship between liberal arts education and what the world needs these days, because emphasis has been towards a very, very targeted training in order that people serve a specific purpose in the economy and the business sector and so forth. And I think liberal arts education teaches students to make connections between different disciplines. And more today, I think that is going to be a great need in our society as people become very, very focused on targeted trainings. Who's going to bring all these different, silos of information together to problem solution? And that's really a strength of the liberal arts education. It speaks to creating a critical question and then kind of dissecting the different ways to get the problem solution. And I think it's ever more important today.
Jeff Reinhart, what's your take on the relevancy of liberal arts education in the 21st century?
Well, I think that there's probably a couple of main advantages. One of them is I think it makes you more employable and more successful in your career by providing specific skills, communication skills, effective thinking skills, problem solving, creativity, curiosity, critical and analytical thinking. This is especially important in an age when many people think the answer is always on their phone. Or, a quick Google search will get you the information you need. In an era of big data, when we're surrounded by more information than ever before, I think what we need is more people that have the ability to synthesize information and to try to make sense of it all. And a liberal arts education provides opportunities for acquiring these skills, for making good judgment and informed decisions with perspective, like I said earlier, from a holistic point of view as well as a specialized point of view. I think of people skills and collaboration as being part of it, part of the liberal arts experience that can translate to a, like I said, a more enjoyable or more successful career. And then very quickly, the other aspect of it, I think, that sometimes is overlooked is the purpose of education, I think, is, goes beyond just career preparation. It's also about developing as a whole individual and becoming a better person and being able to appreciate our place in the world as humans. And I think that that's one of the great advantages of a liberal arts education as well.
Todd, it is something that serves you throughout your life, isn't it?
Absolutely. As Jeff makes those comments, I'm nodding my head enthusiastically. Absolutely. The employers that we've talked to, I just want to echo the idea that employers are looking for people that have these skills, to people skills and flexibility and all those things.
I think that, if you don't mind me adding, that it really is a time that requires a lot of courage and leadership on the part of those who are making policy and curriculum decisions in education, both at the high school and the college level, because there is a lot of question right now about what is the best methodology to get students to where they need to be. And I think there is a propensity in our society to say, hey, we need you trained in a specific thing in order to be of value. It's incumbent upon educators today, I think, a little bit to challenge that notion. And liberal arts is the challenge to that. And so developing your own pathway and defining what you call success as a leader in education, I think, is very, very critical right now.
Jeff, do all the testing requirements make it difficult to teach liberal arts at the high school level?
Well, I think all the testing requirements make it difficult to teach anything at the high school level. As it stands right now, we have our eighth grade students, for example, will be tested on 13 separate dates in the spring of this school year for accountability standards. Now, I do want to maybe insulate those comments a little bit with this. I am a strong believer that what gets measured gets done. And there needs to be a system of accountability. There's no question about it. And so I wouldn't suggest that testing and accountability is not important. It's very important. But I think it's a matter of degree and a focus on the right elements.
Most people think of college liberal arts programs at that college level, but Miami's working hand in hand with Walnut Hills High School. Jeff, tell us about the Institute for a Superior Liberal Arts Education.
This was a project that was born out of the accreditation process that Walnut Hills went through. We were fortunate to have some members from the Miami faculty as part of our external audit team, which came in and evaluated Walnut Hills over the course of a few days. Carolyn Haynes, assistant provost of Miami, was a member of that committee. One of the outtakes from that was that we would develop more partnership with post-secondary institutions. Miami was at the table at the time. And this notion of collecting high schools and colleges that have, you know, a fabulous reputation of creativity in the liberal arts arena took hold in the course of these conversations. And it's evolved now into this institute that's been 3 years in the works and looking for a fourth year that would expand even further.
And Todd, what is Miami's specific role with the Institute?
I really see us as not unlike the classroom teacher's role in a liberal arts classroom to bring people together, to serve as a facilitator, to organize the event. We try to bring people together with a variety of different backgrounds and interests so that these ideas can sort of like synergy with one another. So that's really our role.
Jeff, Walnut Hills seems to be a perfect place for the Institute because hasn't Walnut Hills been promoting a liberal arts education for, what, almost 100 years from now?
Yeah, actually, Walnut Hills came into existence in 1895. We became a preparatory academy in 1917. So Yeah, it's about 100 years that we've been reconstituted into this direction of liberal arts education. So it's a natural for us, and but I'll say this, you know, as good as we think we are and as good as we thought we were, when we bring in these institutions from outside who've been doing wonderful things for years and years, we learn a lot, and we're a better place for the input we've gotten from these other schools.
It gets even better for the students, doesn't it?
No question.
I think that's true of Miami University as well. Whenever you get people together from different areas, different experiences, different expertise, we all benefit. And to me, that's the most exciting part of the Institute. Too often, colleges and secondary schools there's a disconnect. We have a lot to learn from each other.
Jeff Reinhart, the school you teach at in Columbus, Upper Arlington High, is embracing the liberal arts by being part of the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. Tell us how the IB program works.
Well, as you said, it's a program as opposed to AP courses, advanced placement courses, that are more specific for certain subject areas. The IB diploma program, the International Baccalaureate program, is comprised of six core subject areas, and students take, in a sense, distribution requirements between them. And there's also some connections then between courses through a theory of knowledge class that students take, looking at what it means to acquire knowledge, what knowledge is, what thinking is from different perspectives. And then also there are service components to the program that tie or make connections between ideas as well.
Why did Upper Arlington decide to become part of this international program?
You know, several reasons. One is it's relatively newer in the United States than in other countries. Our high school is one of the first in Ohio to adopt the program. It allows for flexibility to be implemented in different ways at different high schools, so we felt that we could try to make it fit for us at our high school. And there are, of course, the purposes and the goals of the IB program are in line with our goals as a high school, trying to help students become more global citizens of the world, trying to help students to have that liberal arts background that connects subjects. And so we thought it was a good fit.
What's the reaction been like from students and their parents?
Good. We offer courses for students that aren't full IB diploma students. So you have a couple of options if you're a student and you want to participate in the IB program. You could become a full-fledged IB diploma candidate, and then you also could take courses in IB courses more specifically. And I think that, you know, we've benefited from both approaches. We offer, for example, IB courses in Middle East history that, you know, is very unusual for a high school to offer, and some other areas that has given our students more of an academic choice in their curriculum.
Jeff, at Walnut Hills, do you find that there's a lot of demand from students and parents for what you're offering?
Oh, absolutely. And what the other Jeff was describing in the program in Columbus is not unlike, you know, the basic foundational philosophies of what we have at Walnut Hills. It's a function of how you get at it. The International Baccalaureate program is a very, very well-respected program nationwide and beyond. But some things that are in common between our liberal arts approach and the school in Columbus that Jeff's describing is this notion of global awareness and, you know, how do we fit as citizens of the world? You know, the topics of rhetoric and debate and persuasion, you know, these are all key elements and will become more important as the United States, the citizens of the United States discover as time goes on more and more that, you know, we're one player on the world stage. And, you know, our students really have to be prepared for that. Technology has required that schools create this global awareness amongst our students, and that's a key part of the training process. It's not as well documented and accounted for in the accountability systems that have been designed. The accountability systems in most states have been fairly narrow in terms of the targets that they're hoping to address, but this global piece is something that needs to be accounted for in policymaking and in curriculum building for high school students. It's absolutely critical, and I think both the liberal arts approach at Walnut Hills and the International Baccalaureate program, as described by Jeff, share that as a foundational element. Jeff, would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's imperative that there be some element of a liberal arts approach, actually, to be successful in today's world, both at the high school and the college level. I don't think it requires adoption of an IB program necessarily, but having a discussion among faculty or a purposeful approach to the goals of a particular school in having in that in the elements of this liberal arts education that we're discussing, I think that that's going to better prepare students for the world in which they're going to enter. From the high school perspective, that means better prepare them for not only college, but beyond as well.
Both the Jeffs, start with you, Jeff Reinhart. Any idea how successful your efforts are at this point? I think the IB program started at Upper Arlington in, 2004? Have you seen a difference with the students?
Certainly. You know, again, I wouldn't want to characterize our approach just solely from the IB perspective. It's certainly a very important element of our high school. I think, more broadly speaking, our high school has made over the years a concerted effort to try to help better prepare students in this new world of technology and this new world that's more globally connected. As Jeff pointed out earlier, we learn from each other, and it's a continual process, and we're all works in progress.
Jeff, at Walnut Hills, do you think you're making strides and getting these students better prepared, making them better critical thinkers so they're ready when they go into college?
I think we are. I think recently what's happened at Walnut Hills that's kind of changed the course a little bit has been that we have written into our mission and long-range plan that all of our students will experience the top-level courses, in most cases those being the advanced placement courses. And so it causes us to prepare the seventh-grade students someday to be every seventh-grade student to participate in this program. And so that's created more participation, a greater participation in these top-level courses that we have at the school. But I think another somewhat change in direction for us has been more of a focus on communication, specifically the writing. And this is a key element. Literacy, throughout the content area is a key element of the Common Core standards. And that's an area where we are very well aligned in our philosophy with the state and their adoption of Common Core. The notion of that students need to be better prepared to be able to write, to present orally, and just to communicate effectively in the similarities and differences and the different ideas and problem solutions that are out there that they'll be confronted with is just so key. And I think that with technology, there are great things. I mean, the notion that students really have their fingertips on so much information, the teachers are no longer the keepers of the knowledge in that regard. But it also has created a great void in students' development of communication skills. And so that's something that we've focused on with a laser-like focus, I think, the last couple of years at our school.
Now, it was interesting because at Walnut Hills, there's an emphasis on Latin. Mm-hmm. Is there not? And I think you even have the middle school students who are coming in, they have to have so many years of Latin.
Correct.
How do you convince kids today that Latin is a relevant thing?
Yeah. Really, Latin in the approach we take is more relevant than it's ever been. It's the platform from which we teach world cultures and study of not just ancient cultures, but other cultures. And from that platform, the first 3 years when they study that ancient culture, we connect that with the modern cultures that we're exploring at the high school years. And so it really provides a platform from which to look at, the world civilizations, not only ancient, but modern as well.
Todd, I once heard the word liberating substituted for liberal and the whole liberal arts education scheme. And is liberating maybe a better, more specific description of the goal of this type of education? It's about liberating the student's mind?
I think it is. I think it's liberating for the students and teachers both. I know as a former high school math teacher, as I learned more about the liberal arts and a Socratic method of teaching these approaches, I really felt liberated as a teacher. And I think that my students felt liberated too. The fact that there can be writing in a math class, the fact that oral communication is important when you're solving math problems, the fact that things are connected together is liberating, the fact that you can explore content that you're interested in as you reach curricular goals and you have more ownership in what you study. It's very liberating. Waiting until graduate school to get to pick what topics that you explore is too late when you can work with kids in middle school, high school on projects that are personally meaningful to them. Of course, it's liberating.
Jeff Reinhart, what do you think?
I'd like to add to what Todd is saying. I agree with him completely. I'm a high school mathematics teacher as well. I have a very different personal background to getting there. At my experience as a student in high school and college, as I was taking the regular lineup of of math and science courses, chemistry and calculus and physics. My freshman year in college, I had a distribution requirement that I had to take, and there wasn't much left, and it was on 16th century French history. It turned out to be the most interesting course and one of the most valuable courses I had in my entire undergraduate career, to my great surprise at the time. We analyzed primary documents, and we were problem solving, and we were doing a lot of the applying a lot of the skills that I enjoyed as a mathematics student in a vastly different context and a different subject area. And so eventually I ended up majoring in history through the course of my undergraduate career, and I very much embraced the liberal arts approach myself. And as a result, I gained a new appreciation for mathematics. Some people would consider that to be very odd because there's, I think, sometimes a false dichotomy between liberal arts and you know, English and history and social studies and in STEM fields like science and technology and engineering and mathematics. And the truth is, I think that learning from a liberal arts perspective is liberating, as you said, in a lot of different ways. One of them is that you can view a subject like science or mathematics with new appreciation for what it's really all about. Mathematics is a very dynamic human endeavor, and it's about discovering ideas and synthesizing ideas and looking at problems in new ways from different perspectives, skills that translate in different areas. And so I think that having that liberal arts perspective has actually changed the way I teach mathematics, and it changes the way that I approach education in general.
You know, I think that one thing that may in some ways damage the image of liberal arts education as it's come to be known is the term arts behind liberal. I think that many times people think it's liberal arts is focused strictly on the softer sciences. And the simple fact is that science has always been part of the broad liberal arts curriculum. And I think many times today you'll hear people refer to it more as a liberal education as opposed to liberal arts.
Well, and Jeff, something else that hurts the idea of liberal arts education is you often hear about classics and English majors who are working in minimum wage jobs. And I'll grant you that a lot of that is anecdotal, but how do you defend a liberal arts education, especially in today's employment climate?
Well, I think one way is to look at the people who are leading corporations that are STEM-related corporations. I think if you look at many of the big hitters in the world economy, people who are CEOs and in high-level management positions for organizations that are STEM-related organizations, you will find that these are people who have liberal arts education. And frankly, there is data out there that supports that.
Todd, there was a conference at Miami University in October, the Liberal Arts Roundtable, that brought together leaders from education, government, and business. Was there a consensus from this group as to what the key issues are that are facing liberal arts education?
Well, there were a variety of issues and people from many walks of life, so I'm not sure if consensus was reached or not. It was a lively conversation, and I think that one idea that people shared in common was a need today to communicate to the wider public what liberal arts really is and why it remains important. Regardless of what walks of life people were from, we all agreed upon that. Jeff Brokamp's comments are well taken. There's sort of a misconception that the liberal arts don't encompass STEM disciplines. We need to do a better job of communicating what the liberal arts are to the community. That's a big reason why we're here today.
Just going to add to that, I think there is a perception issue out there. You know, mathematics and science can certainly fit in the liberal arts. That's the way I view it. It's not really about a specific subject area. It's more about an approach to all subjects and making connections between all subjects. And then another idea that you guys were discussing is the employability and the, you know, one of the big elephants in the room here is it worth the expense of, you know, college to, you know, major in, quote, liberal arts? You know, it most certainly is. The cost of college is actually a different discussion, I think. But as far as the value of a liberal arts education to prepare students to help them in their career, there's no question that employers are looking for the skills that a liberal arts background can provide. I happen to have a quote off of Apple's employment website that I like to share. It says, "Artists designers, engineers, and scientists, thinkers and dreamers, an intersection of technology and the liberal arts, diverse backgrounds all working together. And that's on Apple's employment page. And there was an article earlier in the year by Tom Friedman about what Google is looking for in their employees, and they are looking for tech jobs, they're looking for coding ability, but for all of their jobs, they're looking for cognitive ability and the ability to pull together disparate bits of information and basically analytical thinking skills, leadership skills, and what they called intellectual humility, or the willingness to learn from failure. And all of those, that entire skill set is something that a liberal arts education can provide.
So last question to Todd. Todd, how important is liberal arts education going forward, and what do we need to do to promote it?
I think the liberal arts, it's critical. I think as we move forward, we need to spread the word about the importance of the liberal arts. We need to get some of these ideas about employability in the liberal arts out there to parents and community members. We need to engage more of our high school, post-secondary faculty. We need to get them together. We need to get them working together with folks from industry, working together to solve problems.
Jeff, Todd, and Jeff, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Jeff Reinhardt, a math teacher at Upper Arlington High School in Columbus, Dr. Michael Todd Edwards, associate professor in the Miami University Department of Teacher Education, and Jeff Brokamp, principal of Walnut Hills High School.